Jesus came, the Son of God, came to earth to live among men, to live a perfect life, and then, well, he died among men. He hung on a cruel cross, suffering the physical pain of death, but more, way more, suffering the eternal wrath of God poured out upon him by his Father. The wrath that you deserved. The wrath that I deserved. There he was, dying for me and dying for you. He was dying to rescue us, to redeem us, to deliver us from the penalty of sin. Jesus came. And because he came, well, everything is changed. For those who place their trust in him, those who are saved by grace through faith, nothing will ever be the same again. We still have those same things, you know, like school and work, grass to mow and leaves to rake, and occasionally in Kentucky, snow to shovel. Those same things we still have. Good days and bad days, measured in circumstance and challenge. Those things, those same things, they're still here. But every Christian knows those same things aren't the same. They aren't really the same since we've come to Christ by faith. There's peace now in all those things. There's peace in those circumstances and in those challenges. There is promise now. There is hope now. Despite the sorrow and the grief and the pain that might come, there's hope. There's always hope. If you're a Christian, all of this, we have all of this because he came. He came and he lived and he died to rescue sinners. And then he rose again, the price having been fully paid, the Father fully satisfied. The sins of all those who would ever believe have actually been forgiven. And then, well, then he ascended to heaven, where today, this very morning, this very moment, he lives to make intercession for us. He is praying for us this morning. And we need those prayers, each of us, every one of us, because all of us live in the space between his coming and his coming again. We've talked about that. We live in the space between the already and the not yet. That's what the Christian life is. And for that, he prays. For us, he prays. The writer of Hebrews recorded, "Therefore, Jesus is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." He is able, the Word of God says, to save forever. Able to save forever those who draw near to God through him. This Christmas is another Christmas in the space between. And we look back and we rejoice at his coming. We celebrate that day that he came. And we're thankful. We're thankful as Christians that he has saved us. He has forgiven us. By faith, he has taken away the penalty of our sins. But listen, if you are a Christian, if you're a Christian this Christmas with all the joy and celebration of today and the glad tidings of yesterday, remember this: your best days are ahead of you still, and they're getting closer by the second. Your best days are ahead of you because he will come again. It was the night before the crucifixion, and Jesus was with his disciples sharing a meal. They had done that before, and as Jews, they had done it, well, every year since they were born. They were celebrating the Passover, a remembrance of that great event when God delivered Israel from the bondage of 400 plus years service in Egypt. And then there was that night, Jesus and his disciples, where Luke records this: "When the hour had come, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him, And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. There's a promise there. Do you see it? It's wrapped up in that idea of a fulfillment. A fulfillment in the kingdom of God. That's the end of the not yet. When everything will be already. Verse 17, and when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. There it is again. Do this, he says, from now on until. Until the kingdom of God comes, share this among yourselves. Until I come again. That's really what he's saying. And then he offered a picture to those apostles that day and to his church. A promise to come, yes, but also a present picture. He's there at that table, verse 19. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. Do this until I come. Until I come, our Lord asked us to remember him. And so we live in this space in between the here, living here, and we do this while we're here. We share in this bread and in this cup. We do this because he came. But we also do this. He made clear that we should do this because he will come again. What will that be like? That coming again? Well, the Bible says it'll be like the first time. In Acts chapter 1, there's a record of his leaving. He was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight, and they're just gazing up, and I can't fault them for just gazing up. But then suddenly two men in white clothes, surely angels, said, why do you stand and look into the sky? This Jesus, who's been taken up from you into heaven, will come, notice, in just the same way. He will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. So when he comes, it'll be like that. It'll be public, and it will be, needless to say, amazing. In Matthew 24, Jesus says this, for just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Public and amazing. Dramatic. That's what it will be like. And this time, unlike the first time, no one will miss it. Matthew again, Jesus again, verse 30. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. It will be public, it will be amazing, and it will be fearful. There's mourning going on. It says the tribes of the earth will mourn. That's just a way of distinguishing Jesus' tribe from every other tribe. That's a way of distinguishing those who believe and those who don't believe. And the question might be asked, at this arrival, why are they mourning? Well, they're mourning because this time it'll be clear. He didn't come to save. This time he's coming to judge. He will condemn everyone who has refused to believe in him in the space between. He'll condemn everyone who has refused to accept his salvation as their only hope. He will condemn all of those for all time in this space in between who wouldn't listen every time the message went out. And now when he comes again, there won't be any hope for them. It's too late then. So what will it be like? It'll be public. It will be amazing, fearful, powerful, and glorious, the Bible says. That's what it'll be like. That's about the best we can put our heads around it. If you're not a Christian this Christmas morning, I plead with you. I plead with you the way the apostles pled, Acts chapter 17. Having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent. All people everywhere should repent because, no, look, He has fixed a day. There is a day fixed when He will judge the world in righteousness through Christ. A day fixed, a judgment sure. That's what will happen when He comes again. So today is a good day to repent. Today is an excellent day to believe. But if you are a believer, what a day, right? What a day for you if, like most of us this morning, you're a Christian. It will, I would submit to you, be your best day yet. But listen, because He's coming again and because your best day lies ahead does not mean you should live every day just, well, anyway. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus says, when He comes, He's going to come with reward. He's going to come with recompense. It says literally, I'll repay everybody for what He's done. And then in Revelation 22, He says, I'm coming quickly and my reward is with me. I'll render to every man according to what he has done. There will be an accounting on that day when He comes for every Christian. Not for your sin. Christ has already accounted for your sin. No, this is an accounting for what you've done with the grace that He afforded you. This is an accounting for how you live because He saved you. This isn't an accounting to see if you're living well enough that He might save you. It's an accounting of all of us who have been saved. What'd you do with what I gave you? He's coming again, and that's what He will do, the Bible says. Well, I have another question. How long? How long before He comes? Well, Jesus said nobody knows. The angels in heaven don't know. He doesn't know. Only the Father knows. But He did say this in Matthew chapter 24, verse 44. He said to be ready. He said to be ready when I come. Be ready because I'm coming again and I'll come when you don't think I'm coming. So maybe a question for all of us. Are we ready? Are we ready? And then, practically the last words written in your Bible, He says, I come soon. Surely I'm coming soon. Well, that's the answer. When's He coming? The church throughout all the ages has had the same answer. Soon. Let's answer the question together. When's He coming?
Soon.
Soon. Surely I am coming soon. You say, well, it doesn't seem so soon. I mean, for centuries, church, you've been saying soon. Well, Peter says you need to remember that a day is as a thousand years with God, and a thousand years is as a day. And so, when is He coming? Soon. Even if the day, listen, even if the day is a thousand years hence, He's coming soon. And for some of us, well, He may be coming sooner than you think. Some of us will step out of time and into His presence. Maybe this year. Our lives are over in a blink. Christmas reminds us of that, doesn't it? All the anticipation, so slow to come, and then quickly it's over. Before you know it, you're 40 and 60 and 80 and 90. And the day of your death is closer than it has ever been before. Yeah. He's coming again. And because He is coming again, your best days are ahead of you, Christian. This is not your best Christmas. And those best days Well, they'll be here before you know it. So because He came on Christmas, our sins are forgiven. Because He came, the space in between is filled with promise and hope. And because He will come again, because He will surely come again, well, we'll just wait. And we'll watch. And we'll be ready. Will you be ready? Because He will come again. Soon. Sooner than you think. Why not on this Christmas think about that?
You've been listening to Pastor and Bible Teacher Steve Wilson of Grace Community Church in Bowling Green, Kentucky. We trust you've been encouraged and challenged by this message. If you would like to listen to more of Pastor Wilson's messages or obtain more information on the ministry of Grace Community Church, you can go to our website at gccbg.com. That's gccbg.com.